This is Dr. Letitia Wright for IDCDating.com. IDC Dating is where we're creating multicultural relationships every day. Today I'm talking with Gail Rubin. She is the author of A Girl's Pocket Guide to Trouser Trout. Let me tell you a little bit about Gail. She's a public relations professional, and she's an angling expert. Now, she knows all about getting the blowfish, the crab, and the urchins, but she can also tell us gals how to get that trouser trout. She has married her trophy trout and is very happily married since December of 2000, and she likes to dish out advice, as well as she's into yoga and Pilates. So welcome to the IDC Dating Podcast, Gail.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So tell us about the trouser trout. What's the whole premise of your book and how women can use it?
Well, trout are the good guys that women want to land. You know, when I was a teenager crying over a breakup with my first boyfriend, my mother told me there are plenty of fish in the sea. Thing is, she didn't tell me what comprised a trout versus a one you want to toss back.
Ah, so she said there are plenty of men, but she didn't really give you the tools to distinguish what's the best man for you.
That's right. Well, she had, you know, her little bits of advice, like why should he buy the cow when he can get the milk for free and things like that. That didn't fit into the fishing metaphor.
Okay. That's the farming metaphor.
Right. So, I was married once before, and I spent 14 years in the dating pool, and I had plenty of experience with tossing them back, getting rejected myself, and as I went along treading water in the dating pool, I realized, you know, there's a lot of good advice in fishing lore, and so very often, you know, we talk about a guy as a good catch, or talking about tossing them back when they don't work out. And as I actually started researching more about fishing and applying it to dating and relationships, I was really quite amazed to see what good advice there was that could be applied, such as the trout hunts by sight. The trout, the fish itself, is always on the lookout for whatever it's going to eat. And men are visually attracted just like a fish. So you always want to look your best, wear eye-catching jewelry is one of my favorite things, something that will catch someone's eye and start a conversation. I also have a fondness for outrageous cowboy boots, especially if you're back east, and, you know, people don't wear cowboy boots too often back east, but you can walk and stand in them a long time and not get tired.
And they look great.
They look great.
They're very flattering for women, actually.
Yeah. Another thing you might try if you're an animal lover is live bait works well. Walking your dog. Or I had a girlfriend who has a parrot that she used to take out on her shoulder walking in the park. And believe you me, she got looks, she got conversations, she was really attracting people from all over. While this works well with dogs, and, you know, people, you're more likely to approach a person with a dog than a person by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Cats, however, don't usually cooperate on this, you know, let's take a walk and see who we can catch.
Although I was in San Diego once, and I saw a guy riding his bike with his cat on his shoulder. That was the most unusual thing I ever saw. But that's one cat you can train to do that.
Yeah. another bit of advice from Angling Lore is something called matching the hatch. When you're out fishing, whatever insects are coming out that day are what the fish are going to eat. When you apply that to dating and relationships, you want to project the image of to be in the kind of class of the guy you want to attract. So if you want to attract a classy guy, be a classy gal.
Okay. If we want to attract the biker, then, you know, wear our pants down and show the tattoo.
Get the leather out, yeah. You want a cowboy, go to the rodeo in your jeans.
And your cowboy boots. Okay.
Right.
Not your stilettos.
Right.
That's a great idea, because I think sometimes women are dressing for themselves and forgetting that, you know, part of it is, you know, dressing to attract someone too. And not that you're not saying be revealing, are you?
Not necessarily, although There is a phenomenon in nature called the Big Egg Theory, which which is that big eggs or big eyes or big chests are more attractive to the opposite sex than just ordinary functional sized ones.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. I did not know about the Big Egg Theory, but and now I'm educated, so I'm ready. Okay. So we want to really just make the most of our assets here.
Yeah, and you have to get out there and use them, too. You want to fish quality streams. And like I like to say, unless a river runs through it, you got to get out of your house.
Okay.
First step.
Exactly. Get out of your house and do some different things to meet some different people.
Yes, and I'm not big on going to bars to meet people. And, you know, the only thing you know about them is that they drink. And I think it's a much better approach to go to a community event or to pursue your own interests where you can meet other people, but still meet people that you would have something in common with.
Okay. Now, you talk about the Moby Dick syndrome in dating and relationships. What is the Moby Dick syndrome?
Well, if you haven't read Moby Dick, that's about this sea captain who is obsessed with tracking down the great white whale, Moby Dick. And in dating and relationships, if you are obsessed with tracking down that big catch, you're going to not only make yourself miserable, you'll make everyone in your life around you miserable. So on the water, as in our love lives, obsessing over trout can kill an otherwise pleasant pastime. And your friends are going to get tired of hearing your endless dissection of each approach and cast you make. So, and if sufficiently harassed, the trout is going to beat a hasty retreat. So you want to maintain your equilibrium. You want to be cool, calm, polite, and not obsess.
Okay. Now, what do you want to say about the five ways that guys can score points early in a relationship? What are we looking for?
Well, one of the things a guy can do when he first starts calling is to identify himself right away on the phone. You know, not everybody has caller ID, although that is a helpful tool.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman may not recognize your voice when you call up, start calling. So, you know, don't leave her wondering who she's talking to. Identify yourself right away on the phone. When you show up for a date, flowers always score points. Chocolate is good, but you don't know, you know, some people are allergic. So it's always nice to bring a little something as a gift like that, like a flower or a bunch of flowers. Also, in terms of communications when you're starting out, do call when you say you're going to, but don't call more than once a day unless there's a compelling last-minute change that, you know, necessitates the contact. Okay, even though we're in the equal opportunity 21st century, and most women can afford to pay for their own meal, I think guys make a much better first date impression when they pick up the check. It's good to be gallant. Of course, that assumes that he asked the girl out.
Okay.
If the girl asked the guy out, it's she should pay, actually.
Okay, so that's the rules. Everybody heard that. Okay.
Oh, and number five, don't use your tongue in a first-time kiss. Keep your saliva to yourself. I mean, if things are going really well, okay, but the first time out of the gate, I don't recommend that.
Okay, give it a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Now, at your website, trousertrout.net, you have a great quiz to find out if your guy is a trout or if he is just a sea slug or other fish in the sea. So can we talk about the quiz and go through that?
Sure.
Okay. You talk about one of your questions is when two of you first go somewhere in the car, you ask about whether or not he opens the door.
Mm-hmm. Does he do it every time, only if it's a special date, only if you've got your hands full or you ask him to, you know, if it's infrequent or if he's got you bound and gagged. Some of the answers are, you know, a little off the wall.
Okay. But I guess really, you know, you do want someone who's considerate.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's really what you're looking for.
Consideration, maturity, and are key elements of what makes a guy a trout, and self-control.
Okay. Self-control. Yeah. Okay. The next question is, he feels like spawning, but you aren't in the mood. And you ask, what does he do?
Well, he could suggest a sensuous activity like a massage or a soak in the hot tub. And that's our top suggestion. You know, you could snuggle a while, see if he can arouse you. You know, maybe he'll just pull out his girly magazines and go off and satisfy himself. You know, and maybe he'll just get huffy and unpleasant, and maybe he'll just go ahead and do what he damn well pleases. So you can see we have a continuum of good to bad.
Good to bad, okay. When you're driving somewhere that you've never been before,
he will, what we'd all love for men to do, think ahead and get directions. after that, maybe take a map and try to figure it out as you go. Maybe get to the general vicinity and ask for directions as a last resort. Toss a pile of maps in your lap and tell you to get busy, or drive around until the destination magically appears, which who knows how long that'll take.
So what are you really looking for in this question? I mean, you're really pinpointing what feature of a guy, of a trout?
Maturity, but also thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although, you know, that's not necessarily going to apply to every man on the planet.
Right, right. I mean, you want spontaneity, but you do want someone with the ability to think ahead.
Yes.
So got to have a good balance. Okay. And you ask about if he has the choice of two free tickets to a sporting event, a movie, or an outdoor cultural festival. You ask if he...
Well, he has these options of how to respond. He might discuss the most appealing option with you. He calls up a buddy and invites him to the sporting event. He does what most appeals to him without consulting you, tries to get free tickets for all three events, or takes another woman to the event of her choice, which means you've got a problem with your relationship.
Okay. Your next question is about his bathroom habits.
Oh, the all-important toilet seat question.
Okay.
Does he leave it? Lid closed, seat down. Lid up, seat down. Seat up. Up or down depends on what he did there last. Or sprinkled with yellow spots.
Okay.
So this is definitely your consideration meter.
All right. Again, you talk about going out for the first time. You didn't have sex. You had a great time together. He says he'll call, and?
And he does call the next day to say thanks and suggest another date. Consideration. Calls within 1 to 2 days to ask how things are going. Calls after a week has gone by. Never calls again. Starts making obscene phone calls to you in the middle of the night.
For the last two, or that sounds like another kind of fish. You want to get rid of
yes.
that fish.
Yeah, all of these are ordered, you know, that the first one or two are your troutly characteristics, and they kind of goes downhill from there.
So the whole quiz is at the website, and you give a great score to really tell people where they are on the meter. And,
well, it will automatically, if you go through and you click on all the answers that are reflective of the guy, it will add it up for you at the end. And tell you if he's a true noble trout.
Mm-hmm.
He's a considerate, caring person who's aware of others' feelings and needs. He gets an A for chivalry, no matter what type of trout. An angler would be glad to know him, at least as a friend. You have to ask, does he have a brother?
Okay.
Next is good quality trout. He has many positive aspects of the true noble trout's characteristics, maybe a little immature, a little machismo or self-centered, but otherwise a great nature, still a good catch. The fishy pseudo trout has some redeeming qualities but lacks awareness of social propriety and others' needs and feelings. In such relationships, an angler will find plenty of things to make fun of when she's discussing the fishing with her girlfriends. And a true other fish in the sea is the next one down. He's the center of his universe, and anyone who associates with him must submit to his interpretation of the rules. Now, do you call that a relationship?
No, but we've all seen our friends in those kinds of relationships. So
right,
that's
scary. And then there is the true, like, 0 to 13 points. Either he's a psychopath or did not take the quiz seriously. That's not a guy thing to do, you know.
That's the big thing. Now, you also give people tips for maintaining successful long-term relationships, and you know how to maintain one. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I've been married now for 5 years, and I was married once before, but this one is so much better than the first one. And, you know, certainly time and perspective helps give you that. But I actually spoke with a guy who, with a number of people who were married for more than 50 years, and the key elements that I came away with were common values, and never take anything for granted between each other.
Mm-hmm.
Realistic expectations. You get into trouble when you fantasize a perfect partner and expect a real person to conform to your idealized mold. A commitment to the partnership. Nobody should be expected to carry the whole burden alone. And sharing chores is a wonderful way to continue the commitment to the partnership. Communicate, of course, that's always a top element. But listening not only with your ears, but also with your eyes, you know, see what's going on. And count to 10 before responding emotionally in an argument. And recognize and accept growth and change in your partner. Life is a dynamic process, and after 10, 20, 40 years, neither you or your partner are going to be the same person that when you first got married. And then mutual support and encouragement. Recognize that you are separate individuals as well as part of a couple or a family unit. You've got your own interests and concerns, and you want to honor and validate each other's interests outside of the relationship. And that's what will help.
Okay. Before we go, share with us what to do when the fishing hole runs dry.
Oh, you know, sometimes you just work too hard at fishing. Fishing and dating are both pleasurable experiences, but sometimes you just got to take a break, hang up the gear, and go do what you like to do. Soak in the hot tub, go to the library, you know, exercise, whatever, you know, watch TV, you know, just go to a movie. You want to just back off. Go with the flow, savor the scenery, and enjoy your unique self. And it's when you're at peace with yourself that you become even more attractive to those trout out there.
That's awesome. Well, I don't think we can end with anything better than that. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Gail Rubin from TrouserTrout.net. And this is Dr. Letitia Wright for IDCDating.com. IDC Dating is creating multicultural relationships every day. Remember, ignoring one's conscience is neither safe nor right, and I'll see you next time.